Good evening.
Good evening.
We are going to be starting out in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also might be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. So we have a problem here. The people really liked Samuel. He was a good judge. But Samuel was old. Samuel made his sons judges, but they weren't doing the same job that Samuel was. They were not as good. And these people wanted a king to be over them so that they could be like the other nations. Well, okay, what do they have in mind? Probably what they had in mind, since the time that they came into the land of Canaan, there was the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Philistines. They were constantly being oppressed by one people or another. You know, one nation or another was ruling over them, and then they break free from that nation and, you know, have their freedom again, and then soon another nation's conquering them. And they said, we don't like this. We want it different. We want a king. So you have these problems. And they have a solution. God says it's not a good idea, but God says we'll go ahead. So let's go to chapter 12 and read some of that, then we'll talk about it. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us. Neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. How many people are there in the world that can say that about their government? He said unto them, The Lord's witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt safe. Now when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. So Samuel rehearses to them the history of God's people. He says, when Jacob was in Egypt, in other words, the children of Jacob, or you know, the nation of Israel, God sent Moses and Aaron and delivered them. And he points to different judges, different people who rose up and delivered Israel. And he says, The Lord your God was your king. Now, Samuel didn't oppress the people. He didn't take anything from them. This was a very good arrangement. Like I said, how many people are there that live under a government that does not oppress them or take anything from them? So the people are seeing a problem, but they're overlooking the blessings. They see that, you know, we've been under the Moabites, the Philistines, the Ammonites, you know, all this. Yeah, it's been terrible. Samuel says, yeah, when you turned aside and served Baal and Ashtaroth, then you were oppressed. And when you cried out to God, he delivered you. God was looking out for you. He was protecting you. And when you served him, he took care of you. The real problem was they were tired of the chastening of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Samuel read in Hebrews chapter 12, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither grow weary of when thou art corrected of him. But they were looking at all the negative things, but they were missing the blessings. So Samuel goes on to tell them, if you and your king will serve God, it will be well with you. But if you and your king turn away from God, he's still going to punish you. Just because you've got a king doesn't mean you're going to get away from this chastening. But it's very common that we look around and we see the problems. We see all the things that they're not the way we would have them be. And sometimes it's because of our own failures. Sometimes it may not be. You know, there were righteous people in Israel when the nation was apostatizing, and they suffered along with the rest. But they overlooked God's protection. They overlooked or missed the blessing of the government that they had. So, we can grow tired of the Lord's chastening. We can get tired of things that may not be the Lord's chastening. It's just the difficulties of life. And we focus on those and we look at those. We get weary of them. We're tired. We want a different arrangement. So they wanted a king. Now notice God gave them a king. And when the king was harmful to them, God didn't take him away. God said, no, we've changed the arrangement. It's going to be this way now. When the children of Israel told Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now lighten somewhat the heavy yoke of your father. Rehoboam said, I'm going to make it heavier. So does God take the king away and, restore them back to the judges, back to, people like the prophet Samuel? No. He left them live with the result of their choices, their decisions. It's very easy for us in focusing on the difficulties, the things we don't like, in missing the blessings, in overlooking the good things, to make decisions, to form attitudes that only hurt us farther. It doesn't improve things. Having a king didn't help them out. There was, they weren't oppressed by the Philistines, but then they had an oppressive king. It did make them like other nations in some respects. But it was not as good as what they were envisioning. But it's easy for us to do that, to focus on what's going wrong, what we don't like, and to miss the good things. Now, in a spiritual sense, we can shipwreck because we forget God's promises. We look at the chastening and we don't see the point. We don't see what God's trying to accomplish. We only see, the difficulty it's causing me right now. You have to learn to look at the blessings, to consider them and remember to be thankful. Looking back over this past year, it has seemed like this past year has been really hard on my family and on other people in the church. But I remember during the time of the shutdowns due to COVID, all the things were shut down. There were shortages of some things. Places have mask mandates and all kinds of stuff. There was a time when we weren't able to get together for church. But it was very refreshing on a Sunday to go walking and look at the little trees budding out. Look at the things coming to life. This was springtime. It was a good time of year. How often do we stop to consider the beauty of God's creation? Yes, man has made a terrible wreck, but the flowers still bloom.
Man.
The trees still grow.
Yeah.
The little animals, they still have babies. There's a lot of very wonderful things still going on. And yet we tend to forget them. We tend to overlook them because things are tough right now. Something's going on that, is really difficult. But looking back on this past year, if it wasn't for a midwife who knew what she was doing, we'd have had probably a few hours with our new baby. And then she'd have been gone forever instead of just gone to the hospital. This past year, Sister Terry come pretty close to dying.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Angela. Brother Titus and Brother Noah had a pretty nasty wreck that could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily, all of those people could have been gone. Let alone any one of them. Any one of those people gone, think of the changes, think of the strain that would have been. But it didn't happen. Yeah, there was some pretty tough times dealing with sickness and stuff. It's not nice. You know, I have a cousin who, within a couple weeks, lost her father and her husband. But here we are as a group. So many close calls. So many people could have been gone. In the middle of hard times, it's easy to ask why. Okay, did I do something wrong? Why is this happening to me? But when you really get a view of the blessings, you can't help but wonder why, when so many others have suffered, why was I spared? It's not why am I going through this? This situation is so bad. We've got to do something about this. Why? It's God, why did you choose to spare me? Was it that I was any better than somebody else? When other people are grieving and burying their dead, yet here I am alive with my family and friends. The gratitude, the thankfulness, is not an option. It's a lifesaver. It's the only way you're going to make it through.
Right.
Is if you somehow can get a look at what God is doing. If somehow in the midst of it all, you can say, I know God's still merciful. Maybe I don't see it right now. But someday I'll be able to look back and say, we had it so good.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we almost, I think we could have easily lost Isaiah. Abigail helped keep him from drowning. Remember that? And Brother Philip probably came as close or closer to death than any of us, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Except maybe Sister Terry. Yeah. Ezra broke his arm. What else happened this last year? Well, you know what? You know why people oftentimes move to town? Because it's hard to live in the country. And they think it's going to be easier living in town. Because there's battles that you have to deal with in living in the country. We're going to see it tonight and tomorrow, okay? Whereas in town, they're going to plow all your roads for you and salt it all for you. Out here, you got to tough it a little bit. The Israelites, if they had toughed it with Samuel and the judges and God as their king, if they had been willing to fight the battles, overall they'd have been better off. Right? And I'm sure it was easier living in Sodom than it was living out where Abraham was, as far as making a living, convenience, all that sort of thing, right? But there's great advantages if you're willing to fight the battles. This year, if you're willing to fight the battles to walk with God, to do what you're supposed to do, to obey, to keep the faith, to fight a good fight, to run your race, if you're willing to fight the battles, you're going to be much better off. But if you're looking for some way for somebody else to fight your battles, that's what they wanted in Saul. Mm-hmm. We want a king to fight our battles. We don't want to have to fight anymore. We want someone to fight for us. there's bondage there. And they, this stand, we're 35 minutes away. Well, no, sorry, we're an hour away. I was thinking of when we wanted to stop and pray. Somebody have a thought to share based on what Brother Philip was saying?
Well, I was just thinking that in the days of the judges, oftentimes there wasn't a judge, it seemed like, until they had a problem and they cried out to God. And then he raised up a judge and he would deliver them. Well, people prefer having some other solution than to deal with God.
Right. We don't want to have to pray. Yeah.
No. So, the thing of, I just lost it, but we want to have a life that will operate just fine without God. Mm-hmm. We want a king to turn to when things aren't going well, and he'll deliver us. And God's like, no, I want to be your king. When you have a problem, I want you to come to me.
But if God's my king, I have to be good. I have to behave.
What else do you want to be?
If Saul's my king, I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that's...
If God's judgment is coming, surely they'll get hit before it gets me.
Well, it's interesting because they had a legit reason to a degree in their mind. Your sons don't walk in your way. They're taking bribes. They're perverting judgment. But they... It's like, no, you've been looking for a reason. Who knows how many times they took bribes or whatever. Obviously, the Lord still felt like, you're rejecting me. You don't like the program. You're looking at these other wicked nations, and you're thinking, the Lord doesn't have to raise up a judge to deliver them. Their king takes care of them. And so they're thinking they can have that, and they don't realize, if you have a king, God's still going to take you down. When you're his people. It's different.
Yeah, I get the feeling they were blowing the situation out of proportion with the sons, because you see Samuel saying to them, your king walked before you and my sons are before you. Right. You know, like, I thought they were all bad.
And the Lord automatically said, they aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So right. It wasn't like, you know, they haven't, like, and it may have been some excuse. They might have done something.
So yeah, well, the thing is, can we trust God to deal with our authority?
Right.
Yeah, and still have God as our king.
Yeah, you might not have faultless authority, but as long as it doesn't mean you have to revamp it.
When a judge takes a bribe, it's because somebody offered it.
Yeah, right?
If nobody would have offered, they wouldn't have got it. So there was a fault on the part of the people as well.
Yeah. Okay, you may